Gracious God, open our ears so that we may hear. Open our eyes so that we may see. And open our hearts so that we may believe and live your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11b through 32. It is a familiar story to us, the story of the prodigal son. It is part of a series of parables that Jesus tells in the light of this encounter that happens in verses 1 through 3. I invite you to listen to these words of Luke for God's word to us. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. Then Jesus said, There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give to me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them, and a few days later the son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off, and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran and he put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture lesson this morning is taken from Paul, from his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And it should sound like a familiar verse to you, for we use some lines from it in our assurance of pardon this morning. Listen in these words of Paul to the Corinthians for God's word to us today. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country? Whether you do it for work or pleasure or even on a mission trip, the experience is always eye-opening. There are different customs, different foods, different ways of acting and interacting with others, a whole different language even. It is not for the timid or the inflexible. Travel abroad provokes a level of confusion and vulnerability that many of us find simply intolerable. So we stay where we are, where the food is familiar and the customs are well known, where nothing catches us by surprise. But there is something wonderful and liberating and enlightening about traveling to a distant country. The feeling of the airplane wheels lifting off the ground is to me very exciting. Not only does it mark the beginning of an adventure, it is also an escape from my daily worries and ordinary responsibilities. I am finally free. In a distant country, I walk with a spring in my step. My burdens have been lifted. It is almost like being a child again. I am more willing to depend upon the kindness of strangers, and I am less fearful about making a fool of myself. I don't expect to be in control when I'm in a distant land. I just enjoy myself, marveling at an unexpected, wonderful, brand new world. Going to a distant land can make a person reconsider things. Exposure to different customs and traditions, different food and clothing, different architecture and music convinces many of us that the way we live is not the only, and perhaps not even the best, way to live. Travel often makes people more humble about their own culture, but it also frequently gives them a greater appreciation for their homes too. As the old saying goes, there's no place like home. But sometimes a person needs to leave home for a while to figure that out. Jesus once told a story about a young man who had the travel bug. He wanted to escape the rules and demands of his father's household. He wanted to be free. And so he demanded his inheritance and he took off. In that distant land, he squandered his wealth on dissolute living. He experienced exotic foods and strange customs. He encountered new people and different languages. But nothing he found there was strange to him. Things were just as he expected them to be. A person with enough money can have anything he wants. A person with resources doesn't need to follow any of the rules. Unfortunately, he soon realized the opposite is also true. Without money, even things a person needs, like food, are beyond reach. Without resources, a person is helpless prey in a dog-eat-dog world. Before too long, the young man had spent his way through his entire inheritance, and then he was hungry and he was alone. This did not confuse or disorient him. He had treated others as expendable, including his very own father. He wasn't surprised when others did the same thing. He felt right at home. It wasn't until he decided to go home that he began to get confused. After struggling unsuccessfully to make ends meet, he said to himself, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" Imagine what that long walk must have been like. I am sure he practiced his speech over and over again, trying to get it just right, hoping that his father would not simply refuse to see him. After all, not only had he squandered half of his father's wealth, he had more or less told his father that he wished he were dead. "Give me my inheritance now," he demanded, implicitly saying, "I cannot wait for you to die to be free of you. I intend to live as though you are already dead." If he was not so desperate, returning to his father's house would be preposterous. Imagine how disorienting it must have been when his father rushed out with tears in his eyes and hugged him and kissed him. Imagine how confusing it must have been when he tried to recite his well-prepared speech. His father did not even hear him. He was calling his servants to bring a robe, clean sandals, and a shiny ring for his estranged son. He was making preparations for a great celebration. "Bring out the fatted calf. Let us eat and let us celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." What a strange, strange turn of events. This is not how he expected things to go. This was not the way he thought the world worked. He was home, but it was like a distant country, a strange land where they had completely different, totally incomprehensible customs. He did not know what to say or what to do as he sat there in the seat of honor being served the most delicious food. It was like being a child again. He was helpless. he was no longer in control. All he could do was depend upon the kindness of this strange, strange man, a man he thought that he knew. All he could do was enjoy himself and marvel at this unexpected, wonderful, brand new world. This incredibly strange, foreign story is our story, of course. We are dishearteningly familiar with the way things work in the world. Whether we are reading about politicians in our nation's capital or in our own state, conflict and distrust seem to reign. Whether we are hearing about business executives on Wall Street or co-workers down the hallway, greed and self-interest seem to prevail. Wherever we go, at home or abroad, cruelty and suspicion seem to hold sway, and so we are careful. And we are ourselves suspicious. We hold tight to our burdens, afraid to let our guard down even for a moment. We are hungry, we are tired, we are afraid, but it is all so familiar that it doesn't even seem strange to us. It is just the way things are. And then, when we are desperate, we make the long trek to a distant country, to a strange land, the church. We don't expect much. Life has taught us to have low expectations, but perhaps if we say the right thing in the right way, we will earn a morsel of nourishment, a bit of shelter, a moment of rest. We come expecting a master to treat us as servants, but instead, a father greets us as long-lost children. We come to offer our services to the Lord in exchange for what we need to survive, but instead, we are the guests of honor at a marvelous feast. We come expecting to grovel, and instead we are embraced. The Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Christians in Corinth: all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. In Jesus Christ, we who ran away from the Father have been welcomed back home. Through the Son of God, we who are not worthy of the name have become the children of God. It's all so disorienting. It feels like a foreign country, a whole new world. And indeed, it is. The world, as we so often experience it, is broken and conflicted. The creation is tearing itself apart as God's estranged children lash out in blind fear and hostility. But in Christ, we find a new creation, in a whole new world where we are reconciled to God and one another. It is a strange, incomprehensible, foreign world. As we gather around our Father's table in our Father's house, we find those who were enemies are now friends. those who were strangers are now brothers and sisters. Our poverty has become riches. Our sorrow has become joy. Our slavery has become freedom. We are no longer in control of events. All we can do is accept the inexplicable graciousness of this strange foreign God, whom we have learned to call our Father, and his incomprehensible Son, through whom we have become the children of God. We have finally come home. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that we cannot stay here. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors travel to distant lands to represent their home country abroad. They live in a foreign country, but their hearts belong to the homeland. It is a strange situation. They straddle two worlds, and so it is with us. Every Sunday morning, we make the long trek home from a foreign country, dragging all the baggage we have accumulated during our time away. Fear, frustration, anger, guilt, hatred, resentment, separation, and sin weigh heavy on us. But then we are welcomed home, and we are free. Our Father says, "Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." Our burdens fall away. Our eyes are opened and we enjoy the feast. Then, after the celebration, we return to the distant country, to our workplaces and families, to our communities and our commitments, but as different people. We return as ambassadors for Christ, as children of the Father, as a new creation in the midst of the old, as agents of reconciliation in a world tearing itself to pieces. So, as we leave this place, let us go with new hearts and renewed vision. Where others see fearsome enemies and threatening strangers, may we see long-lost brothers and sisters. When others feel hatred and guilt, may we act with love and forgiveness. Where people feel isolated and alone, may we show hospitality and generosity. When people feel there is no hope and their burden is too heavy to bear, may we share the good news in word and in deed that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to God's self. Amen.